Hey, your host, Tamara Gondor here for another episode. Hope you are having a phenomenal day. I'm excited for today's episode because we're talking about how to get buy-in for your ideas. Nothing more frustrating than having this brilliant solution, idea, product, maybe it's something with leadership, maybe something out in the marketplace, and not getting the traction it and you deserve. So I want to give you just a little bit of a nugget of how to think about this podcast episode. So I'm going to be talking about the early adopter model, which is all about like you get the early adopters and then the mainstream comes on board. But I think that model's missing something really important. And I'm going to show you what that is. But here's kind of the one thing I want you to have in the back of your head. I want you to be thinking about why your ideas get stalled out. And I want you to be thinking about times when your ideas have gotten stalled out. And as I'm going through this model and what I think is missing and how you can actually leverage this missing nugget, I want you to think about how that might change how you get buy-in for your ideas moving forward, how it might change the results of trying to get buy-in for your ideas. We have a lot of tools over here around how to get buy-in for your ideas and communicating innovation, influence behind innovation. I think that's just as important as having more innovation. And this one I think is going to give you some real insight that you can apply to your situations today. But as you go through this podcast, I want you thinking about what were those times my ideas got stalled out? Why do I think that happened? Because this podcast episode is going to give you a new way to think about it and a new way to do it. Hey, before we dig in, let me just remind you, if you haven't gotten your subscription to the Everyday Innovators Digital Magazine, you are missing out. This is the tool, it's the most effective tool actually, to help you ignite innovation that creates meaningful breakthroughs in your work and life. It comes to you every month. There are activities, insights, stories, videos, audio, things for you to read. It's super interactive and most importantly, will give you the confidence and the tools to create those breakthroughs. So go get that. All right, see you on the other side of the podcast. Hello, everybody. Tamara here, Tamara Gondor with Tamara Podcast. I am going live today to record this episode because I want to talk to you about something that I've been getting a lot of questions around, which is how to get buy-in for my ideas. Right? There's nothing more frustrating than when you're full of innovation, you have ignited innovation, you become an everyday innovator, but then you keep getting shut down. You keep hitting those brick walls. You keep hitting those no's and those naysayers. So we have a lot of tools in our toolbox around how to get buy-in for your ideas. If you've ever seen me keynote, listen to my podcast, if you're a subscriber to our digital magazine that comes every month, you know that we always cover all the different ways to navigate moving your ideas forward. Because there's really two sides to innovation. Side one is, how do I ignite more innovation? How do I create a culture of innovation? How do I get others to innovate? But side two is then, how do I communicate for buy-in? How do I get buy-in for my innovation? So I want to kind of go back into the toolbox today and talk about one that I haven't talked about actually in a little while that I think is going to give you some insight into why maybe your ideas are getting stalled out. Maybe you're seeing they have initial traction, but you can't really get them past that. Or maybe even in the marketplace, you've got kind of a core set of customers, but it really hasn't expanded since then. So I want to talk about the early adoption curve. It is the most traditional adoption model out there in business. You either learned it in business school or like me, you learned it on the job. And if you haven't seen it before, I'll explain it to you. And I think it'll be very intuitive when you hear it. Whether you are coming from, hey, Tamara, I'm an internal person and I'm trying to get buy-in for my ideas from leadership, that could be a new workflow process, a new system, a new getting resources for a new team, or an idea for a product and service, or you have a product and service in the marketplace that you need to take to the next level, you keep hitting that ceiling, this is the model and I think a little bit of insight for you because the traditional early adoption model that a lot of us use to try to move our ideas forward is actually missing something pretty critical. And I realized this about a couple of years ago. And when I realized that and figured out what was missing, it actually improved my buy-in across the board. Again, whether your buy-in is from internal leadership or inside the market, outside in the marketplace. So I'm going to pull up a little graph because I actually want to show this to you. I think that's going to help. This is all about the buy-in. And hey, while I'm doing that, just remember, you can ask questions at any time. I've got my chat bar up. Hey, good to see you. So feel free to ask questions as I go, and I'll try to get to as many as I can. All right. This, what I have on the screen right now, is the traditional early adopters model, meaning how ideas move, right? How you get traction and buy-in. It starts with the innovators. Like, those are the people on the fringes, right? That's kind of the extreme. Maybe they're even the ones creating it. Then from the innovators are the first people, the early adopters. And we give early adopters so much play, don't we? They're the ones who see something different, new, a little bit on the fringe, and they go, oh, I totally want to try that. I'm in, right? They're almost an easy yes because they are really open to trying new things. They are super open to innovation. After that, in the middle here, you've got the majority or the mainstream, right? That's kind of like the mass yes. And whether it's early or on the late side, I'm not sure that really matters, but basically it flows through into mass. You hit a tipping point after early adopters, right? And you get into the majority. There's people who come on early and then late. And then the tail end here, what they call laggards. I'm actually going to put a big X over the, oops, I'm on the wrong screen. I'm going to put a big X over the laggards because honestly, those are the people who you're never going to get. They're the ones who are always naysayers, or they're going to be so game that you've already kind of achieved your goals. So we're not going to worry about laggards. But I do want to focus on all this stuff right here in the middle, because what we tend to think as someone trying to get buy-in for an idea is that, all right, we got to get, let's say we're the innovators, right? Let's say we're the ones coming up with the ideas. This is us here. Let's put a little graph here. Yes, art is not my strong point, okay? Yeah, that's a smile. All right, so let's say this is us, okay? And we're trying to get traction for our idea. So what do? We focus really big on the early adopters, hoping that they will push it out to everybody. Here's the thing, though, about early adopters, like I said before. They are a super easy yes. So now we've got to jump, right, from this, from the super easy yes, to all these people here who are these kind of the mainstream. That's all of this, right? And that's a big leap. I don't know if you've noticed, but it takes a long time for the people who are open and eager for innovation and new ideas to go from that to people over here who are the ones who are like, once it's proven, I will buy into your idea. That's what the majority is. That's what mass, mainstream, majority, whatever it is, when you get that tipping point, those are the people who are like, once I have proof, then I'm in. So here's what I came to realize. There is a massive part missing right here that we don't talk about that is really important. Because, and they're a little bit early adopter and a little bit early majority. And that is, I'm just going to put INF for influencers. Now, I am not in any way talking about social media influencers. Maybe they're part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know those people. You know the influencers in your company who are able to like gather more people to say yes. You know the people that you work with who, when they like an idea, the other people go, oh, okay, this must be pretty good. All right, got it. And they say yes, right? You know those people. You know there's in the marketplace too. They may not be the ones with the majority, with the adopters, but they are the ones who people pay attention to because at that point, it's a little more proven. Because here's the thing, this is what I'm really trying to highlight and why I think this little segment in the middle is so important and so missed. The early adopters are fantastic, but they're still considered a little bit fringe. So I look at it, let's say I'm someone in the majority, in the mainstream, the people who need all the proof and all the data first. I look at the people, the early adopters, and I go, ooh, that's a little too out there. They're like, tomorrow we'll try it. Like, she's up to try any innovation. So like, she's still kind of out there herself, right? We're almost too close to innovators. But the influencers are a little bit in between. So when I've got an idea that I need buy-in for, I go to my early adopters to be the first to experiment and try it and hold on to it. But then I focus my efforts on the influencers because they're the people that are going to push it forward. And they're the ones who are willing to try. They are open, but they want a little bit of proof point before they do so. And maybe that proof is a little bit of sales. Maybe it's a little bit of yes, right person, whatever. But man, once those influencers get a hold of it, that's when the majority and the mainstream comes across. All right, so I have a great question from the audience. So Jacqueline, I hope I'm saying that right, asked, how can I tell the difference between an early adopter and an influencer? I really love what you're saying, but I'm not sure I know the difference. Okay, so that's a great question. Here's how I'd see it, Jacqueline. Early adopters are the easy yes. They are the low-hanging fruit. If you had, let's say we had a room of 10 people, and you're over there, you're presenting your idea, and it's an idea for a new revenue stream for your team, for your company. It's a new product or service. And the early adopter is looking at you and they're nodding and they get it and they're with you 100%, you know, right there. They are low-hanging fruit. They are smiling at you. Now that's maybe a couple people in the room, right? Let's call it three to stick kind of somewhat true to our numbers. So let's say it's three people in the room and they're like, yeah, but here's the thing. The four of you can't go off and avoid all the naysayers. So the early adopters are the ones who are automatic yeses for a lot of things. They are willing to try. It's not going to say they're going to like it, but they're willing to give it a shot almost all the time. That's early adopters. Influencers, on the other hand, are slightly more skeptical. So you might identify them because they're nodding at you, but then they're going, yeah, but what about this? They're not necessarily yes butters, but they're going to see if there's points or holes that they need to figure out before they can give you that buy-in. So early adopters are like, heck yeah, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's all go to a, you know, to the innovation lab and make this happen. And influencers are like, ooh, this is really interesting. Let me see how this plays out a little bit. That's another way to identify them. They like to see how things play out. So let me see how this plays out a little bit, and then I'm going to jump on board. Here's the other cool thing about influencers. Influencers are eager to push things forward, right? They want things to keep going all the way over here. Early adopters are not. Early adopters love being on the fringe. They love being the first to discover things. They love being innovators. So early adopters don't have the drive to push your ideas forward the way influencers do. I think that's a really important point. So let me say it again. Early adopters, while awesome and you need them first to convince the influencers, they're not the ones who have the drive or the motivation to push your ideas forward because their identity is all about being an early adopter. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, good, Jacqueline. I'm glad that was really helpful. Great question. Thank you for that. If there are any other questions out there, hey, put it in the chat bar and I will hopefully we'll see it and we can get to the question. So the early adopter, these guys, right? They want to be cool. They're early adopters. I get it. I would probably put myself in that boat and I'll explain why in a minute. And then these influencers, right? They're awesome. They're cool. And they're like, hey, let's spread the word, right? Let's get this going. And this is why, as you can tell, this has nothing to do with your social media presence or if you do product placement on your social media. That's all manufactured. This is about your internal desire and drive and how you fit as a human along this curve. So if you want buy-in for your ideas, and that buy-in comes up here, whether, again, that's internal with leadership or that's your product in the marketplace, but if you want this to happen, if you want, this is like the sweet spot, right? If you want this to happen, you got to start focusing on the influencers too. Okay. Bob just asked a great question as well. You guys are full of good questions today, which is, well, then how do I convince an influencer? If I'm good at getting early adopters, how do I convince the influencer? Okay. So another great question. Experimentation. Influencers want a hint of proof. They want a little bit of time behind it. They want a little bit of validation before they jump on board and go all in. Early adopters don't need that. They'll create their own validation, their own, they are the experimenters. So what we want to do is with our ideas, and whether, again, that's an internal idea for a new workflow or a product in the marketplace, we want to create experimentation that proves the idea and moves it along. And oh, by the way, great opportunity to innovate. You know, in my opinion, experimentation leads to innovation, which leads to a stronger idea on the back end. But that's how you convince influencers. They need time. Right? They need to see how things play out a little bit. They need proof. So let's see some rubber meets the road. Now, let's say you can't launch your idea full out. You've got an idea for a new CRM system for your company, and that's going to take $10 million at the end of the day. That's okay. What you can do is collect proof by actually tracking how the CRM system you're doing now isn't working, by creating a mock CRM prototype that allows people to play with it and get feedback. So proof doesn't have to be like the end game, but there's got to be some experimentation along the way, which again, great opportunity for innovation and learning. So why wouldn't you do it that way? But that's really the two things, Bob, that the early that the influencers need. They need time, right? Like, let me see how this plays out. And or they need proof. Let me see some experimentation in the marketplace. So you want to do both. So here's the thing. Let's say, I'm going to draw a little idea here. Your idea's made it, right? This is a light bulb. I feel so on the spot. Okay, let's say this is a light bulb, right? This is your idea, whether that's with leadership or in the marketplace, and you've got it, right? You've made it. You've gotten it to where you want it to be. Here's the thing to understand too. These guys, early adopters, they're jumping, right? They're going to go find something new and different to explore. So this is why the influencers matter, because early adopters are going to keep jumping and keep jumping and keep jumping, where influencers are going to keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward. And they'll follow the early adopters. They'll see what they do next, but the influencers are the ones keep pushing forward. Early adopters, the minute it gets a little bit bigger, they actually tend to jump to the next idea. I see this internally, by the way, with leadership all the time. This isn't just a consumer marketplace insight. It's fascinating to me to see it internally. Yes. Okay. So Kyle wants to know if I have an example in the marketplace to wrap our heads around it, and maybe even one internally. All right. Absolutely, I do. Okay. So I spent many, many years doing, let me put this side by side so you can see people trying. So I spent many, many years doing new product development innovation in the food category. So, you know, in cereal, in meats, I guess, I don't know what else you call that category, but all over the place, right? If you have walked or pushed your cart down the aisles of Target, you have pushed it past products that I've helped bring to market. So I spent a lot of time steeped in food. And in the early 2000s, I saw something interesting happen. So I am originally from Israel, and this goes with your example. So I'm originally from Israel, and we eat hummus all the time. So hummus, what a lot of people call it. It's called hummus, but we'll call it something in between so people know what I'm talking about. So, you know, the chickpea spread that you dip your chips into. So hummus was something that I ate in the house. I saw people make it. If you went to a Middle Eastern market, you would find it. Then I started to see it in specialty grocery stores. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Then the early adopter started to pick it up. But interestingly, it stayed in that kind of niche marketplace for a long time, longer than I expected it to. I thought it would jump, but it didn't. Why? Because the early adopters were all about it, right? They're at these specialty markets. They know where these kind of things live. They know where to look in the grocery store for the new products. And then one day, I started to notice that it had gone from like this little side corner out in the middle in a weird area to kind of being next to the salsa and the guacamole and the seven layer dip and kind of some other things. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And I saw more people get it. But still, if you had conversations with people about it, they're like, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. But it was starting to gain traction. You start seeing conversations about it. You started seeing it at parties just a little bit more. And the people who brought it to parties, by the way, were the influencers, not the early adopters, the influencers who were like, look what I found. I'm pushing it forward. And then before I knew it, it was all over the grocery store. And now, as you probably know, it's everywhere, right? Like, you're looking at me going, Tamara, what do you mean? Hasn't hummus always been in the market? No, not at all, actually. I remember when it first entered the mainstream market. So it went from early adopters, super niche, to these influencers who then started spreading the word to all over the grocery store. And the placement of the product, so fascinating to me, this is how I geek out, I guess, moved with the stage that it was on this curve. So it moved from the kind of specialty market or that specialty section. It moved from there to having its own little kind of weird section to then being in kind of like the chips and dips area. So it went through the cycle. So that to me is a great example in the marketplace. And oh, by the way, to my comment about early adopters then jump, you better believe that those early adopters who originally were buying hummus and maybe still do, maybe they still love it in the niche market, then looked over and went, oh, what's this show you speak of, right? And then here we go again, right? It's this like virtuous cycle that's happening where those innovators create and the early adopters pick up, and then it goes. But all of them go all the way through the cycle, right? A lot of them stall out, as I was saying, at the early adopters. They get a great kind of initial burst, And then it doesn't go so well because they didn't focus on those influencers that matter so much. So that's my external example. I'm getting all these comments, by the way, now about how much people love Humus. I know, it's so good. So fascinating, though, how it went through the cycle. So internally, I had, let me give you the backstory. I was hired to be the youngest executive at this advertising company. And we're a subsidiary of a global company. And we were in New York City. Our bosses were in Chicago. And every week I had to fly to Chicago and present to them what was going to be our new revenue stream. So I was creating a department for this company. So this company did advertising, marketing for the urban markets. And what was interesting about it is, so a lot of, you know, billboards, ads, events, promotion, that kind of stuff. And what they didn't have was the strategic department, meaning the consulting side of it. So that's what I was hired to do because that was my background. They wanted to be the ones creating the new products. So every week I'd go to Chicago and I'd present, you know, this brand strategy, this new product development service product, yeah, whatever. It was all that stuff. And I will never forget, I was in this one meeting and actually there were about 20 people in the room that I needed to get a yes from. And when I looked around the room, I could see, because I knew the players, I had some early adopters, right? I had a couple of people who I knew were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. Remember, early adopters were the low hanging yes. Then I knew I had some influencers in the room, and those were the people that I knew I really needed to get the buy-in from, because they're the ones who, as I said, they need time. Let me see how this plays out. Or they need proof. Let me see some data points. But I knew if I could get them, everybody else in the room who was just going to wait for the tide to be, you know, the tide to be in the direction they wanted it in, that those are needed, right? They were my majority, my mainstream. So again, I'm the innovator. I'm at the front of the room. I've got this group of people I need to say yes to. I've got my early adopters, which is super easy for me to want to go talk to them because obviously, right? Like I'd be a yes. And then though, I've got the influencers, and the influencers were the ones I needed to get because they were going to get everybody else in the room to say yes. So I'm up there and I'm presenting and I can see the early adopters nodding their head. I can see them giving me the thumbs up. They've got questions, of course. They're not lemons, but they're on board. And then I see the two influencers in the room and I know I need them. And they're kind of just sitting back a little bit quiet. They're listening to the early adopters, right? But they're listening to the other people too. So I switch my presentation mode into, let me show you what our clients are saying, right? Proof. Let me show you how I've experimented with this. Let me show you over the past 6 months how this has played out. So I'm giving them time and I'm giving them proof. That got them on board. And then I knew everybody else. I knew the dominoes were coming after that, right? Those people I didn't necessarily need to worry about. The mistake we make is we try to go from early adopters to majority, to the mainstream, to the ones who are kind of going to go with the tide. So that's why we fail. One of the reasons why. We've got to focus on the influencers in between. So when I think about the early adoption curve, what I really realize is that there's a lot of stuff missing, right? This right here, this middle part is so important, this influencer. So when you think about your strategy for getting buy-in, I want you to think about the early adopters. Of course, we need them. They're the ones who experiment with us. But I also want you to think about those influencers and how you get those people who need a little bit of time and a little bit of proof. If you do that, I promise you, you will get 100 times more buy-in for your ideas. So this early adoption curve, like I said, is something we have seen time and time again in the business world, but it's missing one critical thing, the influencers. So the next time you go to get traction for your idea, I want you to think about, what are you giving the early adopters, right? What are they getting? How are you bringing them to the innovation center, to the fringes, right? They want to be a part of innovation and new stuff. And then what proof and time, experimentation, show me the goods, can you give the influencers to get them on board? When you get early adopters and influencers on board, you will see so much momentum moving forward. That's how you get buy-in for your ideas internally and in the marketplace. All right. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your fantastic questions. I'll see you in the next podcast. And hey, don't forget to subscribe on, well, basically any iTunes player, and go get a copy of Your Everyday Innovators Digital Magazine. It is the tool to help you create breakthroughs in your work and life. It's all about igniting innovation, influence, and impact. All right. See you next time.